some good stuff in here.
I try to. Well, and I knew you were coming in.
Thank you
very much.
Come
on.
This is good stuff.
We want to thank our sponsors. Of course, that's Journey. Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to play the good stuff for the great guests. So we want to thank our sponsors for letting us be on the air here on the radio. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com. Don't forget, today is the 15% off. That's kind of a sorry, today is tax day, and we're trying to do our best to make you feel a little bit better. So they're giving you a 15% discount on your whole order on bigdeals.com. You don't have to have a special code to get that. Also, Boone, Carroll, and Clinton County Daily News, your free online newspapers. The online telecast at Hoosier Land TV, brought to you by Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi, Jerry's Body Shop, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Avery Home Store, Braden Business Systems, Copper Electric Services LLC, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Marchand's Window Tinting at Ellis Jewelers, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, also Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoops, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginn Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoops Country Foods, the Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. We thank them so much for allowing us to bring you Party Line to you every weekday here on WILO, Boone 1027, and also Hoosier Land TV in-house. If you didn't tell by that voice earlier, Dr. Matt Rota, superintendent of the Community Schools of Frankfort. Hi, Dr. Rota.
How are you, Melissa? Thank you for playing a little Journey coming in here. Don't stop believing. That's what we live every day.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I love it. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, no, thank you for the schedule adjustment. I know normally it would be next week, but it worked out for both of us.
Yes, it did. So I'm glad to be here. Always an honor to come in and talk to you.
Well, you have tons of projects going on. A lot going to be going on this summer that I think, you know, if everybody's following, and if you're not following the board meetings on YouTube, you should, because it keeps you informed of everything that's going on. But I also love the videos that you put up with your journeys through the schools. I mean, it's hysterical, for one, but it's so much fun to watch and see you engage with the students.
Thank you.
And with everything that's going on.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
I mean, I just love everything that you guys are doing there. But let's talk about the programs, stuff that's going on. A lot of projects.
A lot of projects going on. We have currently going on. Of course, we've got our middle school project that will continue to go on, the bulk of it, through December of 2026. So coming up, been talking about December 26th. Well, it's getting close this summer. The big part of it will be just changing out all the flooring in the commons area, walking into the middle school. We just finished painting the main gym was painted in the middle school. Makes a big difference. We hosted a fifth grade math bowl there last night. Finished second place, by the way. Green Meadows math team with Sherry Pritchett is our coach of that. She's a teacher at the middle school, and Debbie Bracken ran the technology. So they were able to go into this beautiful, you know, we've got new floors, new bleachers, new painted gyms, and they had all of the everything projected on the nice new white walls in the gym. So that was exciting last night. But because of all of the renovations, it was nice to show off that space. We've got right now a chiller project going on at Suncrest. We've had a hiccup with that. We had the Daikin unit that was put in there had faulty parts when they were getting ready to put it in. And when in April is at 80 degrees and, of course, changing out a chiller and testing season, too. So that'll all get fixed next week. Parts will be in Monday. and get fixed on Tuesday and Wednesday. Our weight room is currently, so we've got a new film room at the high school, and it's just right outside of our wrestling room, so new floors, new paint, new TVs in there for our coaches to be able to review films before and after games. And then we'll have a brand new weight room here by the hopefully sometime in June. So that weight room project is going on. And then we'll finish up our roofing project at Blue Ridge Green Meadows this summer. The last year it was the shingled part. This year we call it the low slope, but the flat roofs. And so that'll finish up. That will be all the roofs at the Community Schools of Frankfort, except for our administration building. That's going to need that here down the road. But all of our schools will have brand new roofs, and that's a big deal because a lot happens if you don't have good roofs. So we're excited about those, and we're beginning the prep work for the all of our fields and athletic facility with the bond that we want to sell in the early fall. So, and that bond, when that all goes well, that will big improvements to all of our outdoor facilities at Frankfort High School with a football field, baseball, softball, synthetic turf. And then fixing our, just doing some upgrades and fixes to our swimming pool inside. So got a lot of projects going on to better all of our facilities, both indoor and outdoor at the Community Schools of Frankfort.
Well, let's remind everybody, you brought up the bond. Let's remind everybody that I think a lot of people forget that the funding for renovations and for building improvements and all that is totally different and comes from a different area than what the educational funding does. And, you know, by doing these improvements and everything, you're not taking anything away from the students and their actual education.
It's a different pot of money. We get state tuition support based on enrollment to be able to pay all of our staff, a good chunk of our staff, especially our teaching staff. That money is in a separate pot. The money that we use for big projects, as it comes out of our debt service fund, those dollars cannot be used to do anything with teacher pay. If it could, we'd be using it for teacher pay and paying our staff more. Unfortunately, we can't do that. The only way that we can catch up on our teacher pay is through a referendum. And we don't want to burden our community with a referendum either. And so we're in a tough spot with that, with teacher pay and trying to catch up. But thank you for bringing that up, Melissa, because the pot that we use to be able to spend money on upgrades for all of our facilities comes out of our debt service. And that money is only allowed to be used in that pot and not for salaries and wages for staff. Unfortunately,
we're gonna kind of jump to this because we all know SB1 has been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's being looked at again, and we've even talked to representatives who have said why this got pushed through. They don't understand because the bill was not a good bill,
right,
to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at possible amendments to it. I know some of those amendments are towards education. But talk about how that has affected the community schools of Frankfort. Because, granted, it has not gone into effect yet. It goes into effect at the end of this fiscal year. But it's going to impact. And schools are already crunching numbers as it is, let alone having this bill come in and impact even more. So, I mean, talk about, you guys have been looking at this. You knew when it passed there at the beginning of the year, you guys have been looking at this and how it's going to affect you.
I think it Community Schools of Frankfort, we have a property, there's a certain property tax cap so that whether you're a homeowner, a farmer, or a business owner, you can only be, you get capped out. Well, we have a tax cap loss of about $1.3 million, and that's out of our property tax, our operations fund. So that's the fund that pays for transportation, that pays for bus drivers, custodian salaries, administration at central office salaries, and to building, you know, being doing upkeep at our building. Yeah, $1.3 million. So by this SEA 1, that will increase our property tax cap loss to from 1.3 to probably 1.6 million dollars. So that'll take a hit. There'll also be something that in a couple of years will be the personal property tax. So when businesses write off their personal property, we'll also lose revenue from not getting those dollars in. So that'll be a loss that we'll experience. Our county schools don't feel the hit of that as community schools in Frankfort do. So because of that, we have to transfer money over. We transfer about $300,000 over every month from our education fund to our operation fund because of that tax cap loss, to be able to just kind of keep that where it needs to be. So it's gonna be a negative hit. The other thing that the legislation is looking at is right now the money follows the student with student tuition support. They also want to tie the money in our operation fund to students. And I don't know how you do that, Melissa, in an equitable way. No. And so just like with SEA 1, the impact that that's hit on schools and local government, all the taxing units, has been a big deal. Now, they did delay for another year so that we can bring in local income tax. And that's just a small number, but it's a number.
Yeah.
And then after, so they delayed that a little bit, but we won't even have that after another year to be able to have that revenue source. And then to think on top of it that they're considering tying our operation fund dollars to students too. And if we've got kids who are not who live in our district to go to another district, that'll pull money out of our operations fund too. So that's a possible, that's not SEA 1, but the legislators are also looking at doing that too. So it's hard to function when we keep getting strapped like this.
Well, and yeah, I know one of the other things, and I just kind of wanted your thoughts on this, a possibility is consolidations of schools. I know that's been kicked around a lot, especially at the State House. Smaller schools being incorporated into the larger ones or Clinton County, for example, taking four schools that we have now, the four main schools that we have now, and turning that into two schools. Or just plain restructuring the programs that are being offered at each school. I mean, what have you heard? What are your thoughts on that kind of thing?
Well, we already, with our CTE program, Wildcat Creek Co-op, our county schools have a special ed co-op that we're in. So we do a lot of sharing already. And the research shows that if you're a school district of less than 1,000, consolidation may be beneficial in certain to a certain degree, but for the most part, if you're 1,000 or more, it's not going to benefit you any. We feel as educators, and I'll just speak for myself, but I know talking to other superintendents that all of this that is happening is pushing us to a consolidation, because if we're getting strapped on our money, there's no other alternative than we're backed into a corner. We're going to have to, all do that together. And I don't know that you still have to have, the administration and teachers to be able to cover all that. You still have to have transportation. You think about Clinton County. We're not Benton County, so we're not, but we're Clinton County, so you think we still have transportation that still has to go everywhere. You still have to hire the people to be able to run. Now that transportation department is going to be a big transportation department because you need all those bus drivers. You need administration to be able to schedule all that. So I'm not a proponent of consolidation, but I believe that what is happening to us is kind of forcing our hand to go in that direction. Although we already work really well together, as you know, with the county superintendents to try to share where we can. And we do that with our Wildcat Creek Cooperative. And I know our county schools do that with the the special ed program. They are even with Carroll County Schools with that too. So we're already doing a lot of that where it makes sense, but it's tough to think about that consolidation, but I feel like that's where we're getting funneled.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it just seems like, as you said, the transportation, the logistics of it,
yes,
just seems like it would be so difficult to do something like that. I mean, we already talk about kids being on the bus for an hour now. You're talking about if you're going to funnel them and consolidate, some of these kids could be on the bus for 2 hours. It's like, how is that beneficial educationally for these kids?
Right.
You're very strong, and I do want to get to the other stuff that we're going to talk about, but you're very strong on the school is on the online schooling and the functionality of that and how it helps the high school kids who are maybe helping support their family and everything, being able to do online schooling and still stay in the program. Is that something that you see maybe growing because of the possibility of consolidation?
I think even before consolidation, you're going to see at least every high school in the state have a virtual academy. I just saw on the news Lafayette School Corporation just started a virtual academy. I believe all of our county schools have something, you know, a virtual academy for high school now. We've got to do that for the sheer fact that we're losing our high school kids to other online academies because that's an option now. That wasn't an option 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And so now we're losing kids to that. We've got, as you mentioned, we've got kids who are, you know, in our community schools of Frankfort community taking care of their families. So they've got life situations that they need to work during the day and take classes at night, just like they were if they were post-secondary. So I think that the virtual academy will continue regardless of whether we're all separate school districts or not, because there's still a competition with the non-public virtual academies, and in order to get funding for kids, we've got to keep them within our school district. So I think that virtual education will not go away because there's a need for it for a certain group of kids.
Well, I know, like I said, that's one of the things that you're very strong on, and I was very impressed with the fact that you got on, I don't want to say a bandwagon, you guys actually kicked this off because you saw the need.
Right.
And saw that need with the families and everything, and now we're seeing it, as you said, with the other schools are beginning to come on board with that kind of mindset. But what do you see any difficulties with keeping that going as far as funding goes? I mean, I know the state, God love them, they're kind of attacking some of the virtual programs, and I mean, do you see that maybe them forcing your hand and having to take
I think some
away with it?
I think some district, every district is trying to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
The union school district that the state took over became more a virtual district than an in-person district. They did it to survive. There are other school districts that have a pretty large number of virtual academies, but some of them have turned it over to a company. So that school district's just getting maybe 10% of the tuition support, and the rest of it goes to that company. So in our situation, we're running it on our own. And when you get to a size like that, you've got to pretty much turn it over to another company. So you're still not, I mean, you're getting more than you would if they weren't there at all, but you're still turning it over because you've got to scale it. And if you're going to scale it, you're going to either need to dedicate a lot of your teachers to it and administration, or turn it over to a company that's what they're known for, to run that efficiently. So I think that, you know, if it grows over, you know, about over 100 students or so, you're looking at, you've got to make it into a school of its own. Well, if it's a school of its own, then you need to have an administrator that oversees it. You've got to have counselor that is part of it and staff dedicated to it. So It's tough to get to the point where you scale it to just allow it to grow the size that some have.
Yeah.
And what a lot of those school districts have done is that they've turned it over to a third party to be able to run it for them. But by doing that, then they're getting not a large percentage of the state tuition support for it.
With your virtual academy being self-contained,
right?
How does that work for your teachers? And I mean, teachers are already credited; they're already state certified and everything. But how does that work for your teachers and their schedules and everything to try and make that work?
Well, we have our virtual academy is overseen by our director of the virtual academy, Kristen Horrell. So Kristen oversees about close to 90 kids. And we have a company called Subject.com that is, they provide the curriculum for the kids, the virtual curriculum that aligns to Indiana standards and all of our graduation pathways. I mean, they're limited to pathways. That's why we want it to be hybrid for virtual academy. So if kids want to take an auto class or an engineering class, they can come into the building to do so. But Kristen oversees, I think we're at 83, 85 kids in there now. That's a lot of kids to oversee. So she does that virtually. And so we have one staff member dedicated to the virtual academy.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of kids. That's the difficulty with scaling it. Now, she has, I should say, we have more than one staff because our school counselors at the high school are a huge piece of that. Kristen would sit here and think, Matt, it's more than just me. It is. It's our Frankfort High School counselors work with Kristen, and our principal work with Kristen to be able to put kids into that program. But Kristen is the main person overseeing it, and our counselors help support that. And if it wasn't for our counselors and Kristen, it would be hard for that to run well.
Well, I know, like I said, I applaud you for getting that started and kind of being the lead here in the county for
Thank
a
you.
Program that was very much needed. And but let's get back.
Okay.
Let's get back to the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I know we'll explore that. We'll keep exploring that.
Keep talking
things
about
keep
that.
Changing down at the State House.
But yes.
Let's get back to the fun stuff. Science fair. Your school has an extremely strong science fair participation, not only locally, but at the state level and
right.
even the national level.
Right.
You know, so let's talk about science fair.
Well, everything rises and falls with leadership. And Joel McKinney used to say that, our former superintendent. And it's so true. Brett Ray has led the high ability program for community schools of Frankfort for years. And because of that, he's got a system that works. So when kids get into middle school, and we had some elementary kids who participated this year in the science fair and did really well. One of those kids, a fifth grader from Suncrest, she was one of the five that went to the state science fair. But they do their projects, they do their research, they go to Purdue, they compete against West Lafayette, Lafayette School Corporation, other districts in the region, and they come out winning. They win top. Projects in different divisions, and then when that happens, then they go to the state science fair. And this is, I put it on there, it's over 20 years of having a group of kids who've gone to the state science fair. And it's pretty impressive to see them year in and year out do really difficult projects. One project was, and it was an extension of Karina Castaneda, who is now a teacher in our middle school, but the project that the student did was looking at bilingual students and how when you can speak two languages, how that helps and actually really benefits you in your learning. And so, I mean, those aren't projects that I was thinking about when I was in middle school. And those are the kind of projects that Brett Ray works with the kids to do to go to the regional science fair, and that's why kids are moving on to the state science fair. And we've had a couple kids who've gone to the international science fair in the past 6 years. So the science fair is just another gem in the community schools of Frankfort that we like to be able to highlight. So if you're a high ability kid and you want to be challenged, Brett Ray's high ability program, and he works with the teachers at all of our buildings to make sure that we give them what they need to be able to go from, you know, above grade level and beyond.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do. I know one of the things that you sent me that nobody wants to talk about, but we know we need to. Staff reduction.
Yeah, staff reduction. Well, the good news is, Melissa, about that is that, you know, when we've felt confident all year that if we, no matter how many staff we needed to reduce, we would be able to do that through attrition. And we, after our bargaining ended in the fall, we knew we were going to have to reduce at least 16 staff. Then we had kindergarten roundup a few weeks ago, and our numbers weren't as high as they've been, so we've had to reduce a couple more. So we've had about 18 staff that we've needed to reduce. We're going to be able to do that without a reduction in force, meaning that we've got to give RIF notices to teachers to say they don't have a job next year. So we've had enough resignations and or retirements where we've been able to do that. We've had to shift some teachers to some different buildings.
Yeah.
Or give that option to do that so that we do not have to riff any of our teachers. That's a lot, and so that's been a blessing. So yeah, that's the good news. And over the last 10 to 15 years, the enrollment has been declining, yet we've kept the same number of staff. And so while it seems like a huge number, it really is something that, and I take responsibility to in the time I've been here. It's something you just don't like to have to do that. It's not a popular thing to do, but we're right sized at this point with our classrooms, and every school has been impacted by some reductions at the school, but it's because our enrollment is down, and so we needed to adjust accordingly. Now, does that mean our class sizes are going to be 30 kids in a classroom? Nope, not at all. It's when you look at K-12, it just adds about another student per classroom across the whole district when you average it out. So we're not going to have, I think we might have a grade level that has 26 in it for next year. But I was an elementary principal, and I had, when we get up to around 28, 30, that becomes a lot of kids in a classroom. 26, even though that seems like a lot, it's manageable, especially for the other supports that we have in the building.
Well, and you talked about teachers moving to different areas. Well, part of that is because of size of class. I mean, there's some classes I'm going to date myself, but even going back when I was a kid, my class itself was an extremely large class. So we had teachers that actually moved with us. If we had five teachers in our class in third grade, then in fourth grade, we had five teachers. It just kept moving.
They loop with you. They go with you each year.
Yeah, or a teacher would move from a different grade to accommodate that because maybe the class behind us was smaller.
Right.
And they only needed four in that grade.
You just shift where that teacher goes to make sure that grade level has the number needed. And we do that, too. We will, if we've got a grade level that, let's say, fifth grade has four sections in it and fourth grade, has five, one of those teachers will shift to the fifth grade or somebody in the building. The principal makes that decision of who shifts. So that's the good news. I mean, it's not great news that we've got to reduce by 18 people, and hope we've right-sized. We do not have to send a RIF notice out to any of our teaching staff. Everybody's been informed of that, so there's no more pins and needles for certain staff members to think, am I going to have a job next year or not? So that's a blessing that we do not have to do that.
I know, there's only, maybe 6 weeks left?
Right. Our last day, we got a waiver from the state of Indiana because of those snow days. Our last student day is May 22nd. So, we've got yeah, probably 6 weeks left of school. That's hard to believe.
I know.
When you said that, I thought, oh, yeah, that's probably.
I was trying to calculate it in my head,
yes.
But yeah.
That's about 6 weeks left.
Testing, you mentioned testing.
Yeah, we I had a superintendent reach out just recently and just say, hey, Matt, we've got similar demographics in our school district. We're high poverty. We've got a high population of kids who are multilingual learners, and we want to know what you did to get to 90%. You know, you did, and that's, you know, he's talking
sure.
about our staff.
Sure.
What did Frankfort do to get to 90% and above iRead scores last year? So, and I don't want to, you know, it's not in this county, it's another county. And so that superintendent and his principals and some reading coaches came yesterday, worked with Leslie Miller. We went over our pillars of excellence and the different systems that our principals and staff have had in place. And I just can't tell you enough how proud I am of our staff, our teaching staff, and our principals, because it really comes down to mindset. If you have the mindset that it doesn't matter what address you come from, kids can achieve at high levels. They can achieve at high levels. I mean, think
sure.
just with the high ability program that Brett Ray's been doing. I mean, these are the same kids. I mean, they're achieving at high rates. So they came in yesterday, and I applaud that superintendent for doing that. I do the same thing. If we're not doing something well and somebody else is, let's reach out to them. You got to put your pride away and get some help. And I applaud him and his staff for coming over to learn more about how to impact. And really, it kind of boils down to mindset and putting systems in place. And so we're blessed to be able to have both of that here in the community schools of Frankfort.
Well, and that's got to make you feel good.
It does.
As far as one, you already feel like that sense of accomplishment's there by seeing that 90%, you know, over 90%.
Yes.
Scoring. But to have another school corporation come and say, hey, we need help. And you're doing it right.
Right.
That has to give you even more of a sense of pride than what you already had.
I think they realize that you, and they know themselves, you, just any old teacher can't walk into our building in community schools of Frankfort and be able to do what our teachers have been able to do. And that's been a 3-year process. We started with kindergarten, making sure every kid was on grade level or above. Then we moved to first grade. So it's taken some time. This is year 4. And actually, it happened in year 3 with the iRead. But you just can't come in and teach in a community schools of Frankfort and be able to do this without the systems that we have in place to do so. And so that district recognized it and came in. Now, there are districts that, you know, they can get 90% and it's, you know, it gets posted and it looks like they're doing it. And they are doing a great job. It's tough to get people, but not when you've got all of the barriers that we're facing and we still get to 90%. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. What do you see? You've got 6 weeks left. What do you see coming towards the school corporation in this last 6 weeks before, you know, graduation and everything? What's coming up? And then how are you already preparing for the next school year?
That's great, because this is the time of year that you've got, you're doing both. You're trying to finish strong in this year, and you're preparing for next year based on the things that you saw this year that need to get better. So between now and the end of the year, we have iLearn testing going on in our elementary and middle school. We have our high school prepping for their graduation. Graduation at Frankfort High School is on Saturday, May 30th. It's that Saturday after Memorial Day, and it's always great to you guys, Clinton County Daily News, live streams that. So that's a blessing to do that. It's a beautiful ceremony in Case Arena. So we look for, that's kind of the pinnacle to get to that Saturday, but a lot of testing going on between now and about the middle of May, and teachers are finishing up their curriculum and assessing kids to see, this is the summative test to see how all of our work paid off this year. And then what we're looking at going into next year is about really what supports and what types of things do we need to do to move the needle. At our high school, our SAT scores did not move like they should have moved. And so what do we need to do to be able to ensure that that needle moves at the high school. If we can move iRead scores, you know, we can move any kind of score. So what do we need to do in supporting Mrs. Flynn and her staff at the high school to move that needle with the SAT? Even though it's 10% of the accountability grade, it's a big deal for us to move that. And we'll be able to do it. It's just mindset and putting systems in place. So we're looking at that for next year. And really getting back to our why. Why do we have these pillars of excellence in place? Why did we put them in the first place? Well, we looked at a book called Districts That Succeed, and these were five districts around the nation that were high-performing schools with all the same barriers that we have. And I think we've got to go back and revisit that again and say, this is why we have these things in place as more motivation. I think we've had a tough year with having to talk about staff reductions, and we need our staff to know we're behind them 100%. And the best way to motivate is that we need to know what our why is. And our why is we've got kids that we want to improve the trajectory of their lives, and we do that by giving them a great education. And education is the way to turn around any society. And if you've got kids who are living in poverty, it is the way out. And so we take that pretty seriously.
Do you have registration dates set for the upcoming year yet?
We will have registration the Wednesday and Thursday before school starts, but we've got online registration now, so anyone can go to the frankfurtschools.org. We're asking all of our returning families. We don't have a large number of them who've done that yet, but we are asking them to register their kids for next year, and they can do that, you know, off and on all summer and even now. And any new families coming to Community Schools of Frankfort can go to frankfurtschools.org and register for classes for next year. So our registration, it used to be you come in person, but now you can do it anytime.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming in and taking the time and staying over, because we have a lot to talk about.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
And we still didn't even touch the surface of everything.
That's okay, yeah.
But we will definitely have plenty to talk about next month as well.
Always a pleasure to come here and talk to you.
Well, we appreciate it. And anything else you want to leave our listeners with before we cut this off?
No, I think the Community Schools of Frankfort and Frankfort, Clinton County is a great – we get to experience a lot of different people here, and it's a blessing to be part of this county.
Well, again, our guest has been Dr. Matt Rota, our superintendent of Community Schools of Frankfort. Just a reminder, today is April 15th, so if you have not gotten your taxes done, you're running out of time, and you might, and I'm going to say might, be able to file that extension, but I wouldn't push it. Anyway, everybody have a great day. Enjoy it, and keep an eye on the sky. Still a chance of those thunderstorms popping up throughout the day and into the overnight.